Ladies and gentlemen, you are about to witness some scenes from the next attraction to play this theater. This picture, truly one of the most unusual ever filmed, contains scenes which under no circumstances should be viewed by anyone with a heart condition or anyone who is easily upset. We urgently recommend that if you are such a person or the parent of a young or impressionable child now in attendance, that you and the child leave the auditorium for the next 90 seconds.
Ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of the Video Nasty Project. Tonight, we're bringing you a movie so disgusting, so reprehensible, so destroying of society that it's been sealed up behind this wall for the last 30 years. All right, hit it.
Gotta be kidding me.
Highlander 2? What the fuck? No, let's just watch Graduation Day instead.
Yeah.
Roll the trailer.
There are 200 seniors at Midvale High, and 7 days till graduation. The class of 81 is going out in style, and they're having the time of their life. It's been a great year for Midvale High. The track team finished first in the state. Then again, Midvale always produces winners. Sally Prescott is the top gymnast in the school. She plans to go to college in the fall. Paula Kastoff won 5 cross-country events in the past year. She jogs to school every morning. Ralph Johnson is the football team's star halfback. Pete McFarland set the state record in the pole vault. Tony and Dolores were king and queen of the prom. The class of 81's being fitted for caps and gowns and coffins. There's 200 seniors at Midvale High and 7 days till graduation. Too bad there'll be no one to celebrate with. Graduation Day.
And that was the trailer for Graduation Day. We're out of school and we're so much smarter now. Are we smart?
Maybe.
We're smarter than this goddamn movie.
Well, okay. I'll definitely agree with you there.
The movie is essentially much like The Dorm Drip, The Drip Blood, and much like Final Exam. It's a slasher movie set on a campus with a whole bunch of disposable students that get killed.
High school, specifically.
And, okay, I'll give the movie this. The movie starts out really strong.
I mean, there's some very well-choreographed shots.
Where it's got energy, it's got pace. The music's, okay, extremely disco.
Well,
I still enjoy the music, but yeah. The whole story within the opening is quite well done, It starts off rather unlike other slasher films because there's something completely normal happening.
It's this track and field event where you've got everybody in school up on the bleachers, and it's these, you know, 5 or so girls running along, and there's this one girl, she's out in the lead, and she's all like in slow motion and like, yes, I'm gonna win, and then she gets like this grimace expression on her face, and she gets across the finish line and keels over dead. And everybody's like, oh my God.
She basically just like has a stroke or something.
They mention a blood clot later in the movie.
Yeah.
And so the coach, Coach George Michaels, Coach George Michaels, he comes running over and he's like, oh my God, what the hell's happening? Get him a paramedic. And then one of the dude with the big kind of fro comes running over and starts cuddling the body. It picks up a couple of months later where we have this, at the time, the faceless protagonist. And she's a hitchhiker, and there's this creepy, slimy, fat dude in the car with her, and he's like, hey, baby. And at no point does the person in the seat next to her say anything, or we see her face.
We do see her face eventually, right after the creepy guy puts his hand on her leg, and we cut to her face, and she's like, swivels her head and glares at him and grabs his hand and then grabs his balls and says, no.
It turns out that the faceless protagonist is the sister of the girl who died at track and field. And she's this ensign from the military come back from Guam to celebrate the graduation and commiserate her sister's death.
She gets on well with her mother, but her father... It's either her father or her stepfather.
It's a stepfather.
He's a real dick to her. He doesn't like her at all, and the feeling is mutual.
And I thought for a moment there that they were trying to set up something like what they did with Bloodsong, where they had the hero of the movie and the antagonistic father, and you have this bad relationship between them, but then they come together after the tragedy of the slasher running around campus. Nothing ever pays out from that, ever.
No, they didn't do that. It's a wasted opportunity.
And so the movie is essentially this seven or so students from the track and field team are slowly being killed one by one through various sports equipment fatalities, like somebody takes a javelin and stuffs it into the football and then throws it at the quarterback jock.
Two girls get decapitated, but you don't see their deaths. And a part of that little mystery has to do with...
Because they brought on Linnea Quigley at the last second because the other girl who Linnea took over for didn't want to show her jubilees. And being a Linnea Quigley movie, whoosh, out come the boobies!
What we see is we see the death of the same character played by two different actresses displayed.
Yeah.
Where we see the original is... the evidence of it, the aftermath of her death, is when the older sister is being chased by the sicko killer and they end up underneath the bleachers and there's the girl's head sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
That's the girl who refused to do the nudity.
Because they didn't have time to cast a, hey, Linnea, we need your head to be decapitated in this scene prosthetic.
The rationale is that particular body, they'd never find the head.
So Linnea, she's in this for like probably 3 minutes, 5 minutes, long enough to seduce the music teacher, get her tits out.
She also wanders off to the park with her boyfriend where he gets decapitated and then she gets decapitated off screen.
I rib on this movie for being poorly executed, but that's the one scene of the entire movie that I thought was actually really good because you had... Linnea and her boyfriend in the woods. The boyfriend gets killed and Linnea takes off and you have this chase scene. Meanwhile, you have this prom dance, graduation dance thing going on, this roller derby disco thing going on, and you've got the rock band and they're rocking out with this kind of progressive rock 60s style. And you've got these roller skates going on and this weird, not quite art house, but this kind of frantic cutting back and forth between the roller disco and Linnea being chased and this bed of progressive rock music and not sinister music.
So here's an example of what's goofy with the music sequence in this film. They were trying to cater to what the band was wanting because the group didn't charge any money for making any appearance in the film, but they were going to utilize the appearance in the film to make themselves bigger.
Publicity.
It was a publicity thing. So Felony tried to use it as a music video.
But it doesn't really come across like a music video.
Exactly, because no, they wanted to only play their music. So none of the music that's being played is written specifically for the movie. They're just playing their regular
At least when Alice Cooper did his bit with Friday the 13th 6, they actually got him to cut a new track for the movie versus, hey, I'm just going to use some catalog music.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. So there's the reason why the whole sequence with the band playing and then the way they're editing back and forth and between things has this disjointed feel. It's because the group Felony wanted their music to be heard, and it wasn't music that was written for them.
It doesn't fit.
It's not a soundtrack.
I still enjoyed that sequence, though.
Yeah.
It was a well-put-together sequence. It had one critical flaw. It went on for way too fucking long. It's their entire song, Felony's entire song, which is like 6-7 minutes. That's way too long for this sort of movie.
And the director or whoever it was who was in charge of the setting up the shots, they basically were like, okay, they're giving us this appearance for free, but what they're asking for is screen time.
Yeah. So you say that you liked the characters in this to a point.
Yeah. There wasn't anything particularly strong about them, but I certainly, you know, enjoyed the majority of them.
That's my problem with the movie, is that everybody in here is a prick, an unlikable prick. Coach George Michaels. Yes, he's pushing his kids hard. That's what a gym teacher does. But he just doesn't make the character likable.
There's this one bit where there's this girl that's doing a gymnastic routine and she's getting photographed. And she does one screw up and he completely rakes her over the coals.
And he's ripping into the photographer who's like, dude, I'm just here to take pictures. What the fuck is your problem?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like the principal, he's a dick. The music teacher, he's an asshole. So nobody in this movie is likable for me.
It wasn't so much the male characters that I enjoyed. I liked the female characters. I liked the ensign. I thought she was a relatively interesting and engaging character. She was one of the strongest people in the film.
The problem with her, she disappears for the middle reel. She's in the beginning, she's at the end, and just does nothing. She just falls off the map for a large chunk of the movie.
You're right.
Which then leads me to ask the question, who the fuck is the star of this movie? Who is the protagonist of the movie? I have no fucking clue.
You have, let's take the ensign from the Navy as a character, as a subject to talk about.
All right.
She's at the beginning of the film, she's at the end of the film. More than likely, all of that footage was shot on the same day.
Almost certainly.
Okay.
Maybe a weekend.
Yeah. Whereas the middle section had already been shot.
All right.
Because they had to do a recast and a reshoot. She wasn't the original actress cast in the role. The older sister was actually originally cast with a different actress. So they probably shot with that actress. Didn't work out. She left the role. They recast it. But they'd already shot the middle of the film. They're on a budget. They don't have money. They don't have time.
So they edited out all the stuff with the other actress in it.
Much like how they had to cut around Linnea. Because we just don't have the coverage for it.
And they spent the bulk of their money on special effects and Christopher George.
And I would ask for a refund on both.
Yes.
Neither the special effects nor the actor playing the coach was any good.
So you spend all this time setting up your, well, for lack of a better word, protagonist, because we have nothing else in the movie. So you spend all this time establishing that she's this ensign, she's got a military background, she's been serving in Guam for a while. I was expecting her to bust out some military training at the very end when, because she's a final girl, she's being chased by the killer. Do something! Don't just run away! Don't, you know, punch him in the balls! Get kung fu on him! Show weapon skills! Do ensign-y things!
And they actually have her say, when her stepdad's giving her shit. She's like, I've learned some things. Don't try me. I will hurt you, is basically what she says to him at the beginning of the film.
Or when she grabs the slimy fat dude's balls as a very proactive, fuck with me and I'm going to destroy you.
Yeah.
Nothing comes of it at the end.
She doesn't demonstrate any fighting ability in the final confrontation under the bleachers.
And
she mainly just runs around.
And further speculation for me, like my explanation for why we only see her at the beginning and the ending of the film, they were in a hurry. They had to recast. They get her in the role. Can you do any martial arts stuff? No, I don't know nothing. They may have even tried to choreograph some fight sequences and discovered she couldn't do it. That's why you get nothing out of her. She wasn't hired. She was hired as a last-minute replacement. And they had to do it fast.
In truth, I like her performance at the beginning of the movie best of all.
Well, which gets back to the, like I started off with, the first 15 minutes or so of the movie are actually really strong. It's got the good editing from the track and field bit. The introduction with the ensign is pretty decent. All the way up to the point where she gets home and meets her dad, then the wheels fall off the movie for me. And it just keeps circling back to the fact that this movie is half-assed.
Yeah.
We have, what, 7 people on the track and field team, plus the coach, plus, you know, ancillary characters. There should be a smorgasbord of awesome kills. Just give me 7 kills, 1 every 10 minutes, boom, 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 boom. We don't do that. We just kind of chug along boringly.
One of the things is like the guy who plays the principal is a really well-established 70s, 80s bad guy actor. He's in the A-Team, Knight Rider, $6 Million Man.
He was in Airwolf. Yeah,
he was in Airwolf. He turns up everywhere. He's just that. He's one of those stable actors. I need a character part. Boom. He actually, in his performance, plays the character. I understood what he was doing. He was being that milquetoast kind of guy who's trying to be tough. That whole bit in the auditorium where he's like, all right, we're just going to call this whole thing off unless you calm down. I mean, graduation isn't for me. It's for you. I mean...
And the students are just giving him shit.
Yeah. I want to go back to something else.
All right.
All right. You indicated that you really looked at Kevin being a fool.
Yeah.
What the hell was he doing? I mean, what the hell? You weren't grasping.
There's no motivation for him.
There is a motivation, and I think, and here's how I'm speculating.
Okay. Here, let me qualify a little bit before you get going. There was a motivation there. I recognize it. It was poorly executed and set up and explained.
Okay. Now, let's see if what you're thinking of as the motivation is the same as what I'm thinking of the motivation to be. The motivation. All right. So, Kevin is upset that his fiance, alleged fiance, because we've never actually seen that these two actually had a relationship. He may have just simply been a stalker. Her dying set him off.
Okay, fair enough. We don't know that.
But let's take it at face value. Yes, they were dating. Yes, they were an item. Well, my theory behind what Kevin was motivating is he blames the coach. The coach is the person responsible for his girlfriend, his future wife, dying. So what does he do? I'm going to, one at a time, kill the people that make the coach look good. I'm taking away from the coach. So I'm going to kill his other star athletes because I'm punishing the coach. And then at the end of the movie, I kill the coach last.
That makes pretty solid sense, which then circles back to the whole notion that they just don't explain themselves. I like that. Nope. If they had articulated that theory...
There is no communication in the film whatsoever. Why is Kevin killing all of the... How are they at fault for his girlfriend dying? If anybody, the coach would be at fault because he's pushing her too hard.
Well, they were setting it up to have the coach be a red herring for the killer.
Another thing I can point to the film not getting right, or not executing well, is the look of the killer. Which, okay, so you kind of have this yellow bent of the black gloves and the gray sweater. And you never see their face. But the occasions that you do see the full torso of the killer, they've got one of those fencing masks on. Now, in a world where you've got hockey masks and William Shatner masks and masks that are made out of the skin of your previous victims, a fencing mask looks pretty shit.
But on the other hand, want to hide your identity and you don't have a lot of stuff on hand immediately, you're going to grab what you got. And if the fencing equipment is there, you're going to use it.
I mean, okay, it makes sense in the context of killing people with sports equipment on a sports team-themed slasher. It just didn't look very good.
Now, if one of the students had been a fencer, and then, oh, I'm going to spar, blah, blah, oh, you're really good. Who is that? Kill. There would have been an opportunity to make a really good kill scene. Didn't take it.
It's in the same recycle bin that the ensign and her mad military skills are.
But was this a situation where somebody came up with ideas on how to kill people, then wrote a story to patch it together?
Well, there's the thing, though. This only, the ironic appropriateness of the deaths only really happens twice, with the guy doing the pole vaulting and the football player.
Yeah.
All of the other kills, you don't have that. You got the girl who's a gymnast. She doesn't die in a gymnast way. You got the gal who's jogging through the park. She doesn't die in a jogger's way.
So, final thoughts, gentlemen?
This film, for me, is you're idle, you're alone on a weekend, nobody is available to do anything, and you're channel surfing on cable, and graduation day, and it's a horror slasher flick. Oh, what the hell?
So, yes, go watch The Burning instead.
Yeah.
All right, Ian. Graduation day. Should have been on the list. Wasn't nasty. Do you seize graduation day?
Do I seize graduation day? It's not a bad movie. The gore that's in it is really freaking tame.
So, would you seize it?
No, I would let it stay on the shelf. There's some violence, there's some gore, there's some pot smoking, some drinking, a little bit of nudity. It's all comparatively tame stuff.
I have no idea why this movie's on the list. Zero idea. I mean, there's nothing to this that's not in 100 other slasher movies.
I suspect it might be the cover art, because it shows the blonde gal who was jogging in the park. It shows her in the process of getting her throat cut on the cover art.
Yeah.
And I suspect that's probably what tripped the censors.
Yeah, I have no idea why this is on the list. Just... You baffle me, Mary Whitehouse. Brad, did you like Graduation Day?
I sort of enjoyed it.
You're a fool. You're a fool. All right, defend that.
I didn't actively dislike it. I thought it was kind of shoddy and poorly put together. But on the other hand, the characters were fairly engaging. There was a good, consistent story. The acting was moderately good. There wasn't anything that I found technically bad about it. It's just it was kind of mediocre.
Aha! That's the word that I'm going to use when it gets around to me. This movie is pedestrian.
Yeah.
It is very, stays in its lane, very middle of the road, very vanilla.
That doesn't say I didn't dislike it. I actually enjoyed it, but I didn't think there was an awful lot that one could take home from this. It's mediocre. I've seen lots of slasher films. This covered all the basic stops. It didn't go beyond in any way, shape, or form.
So did you like Graduation Day?
It's not a bad film.
But, and I sense there's a but behind that sentence.
Oh, yes. It is a waste of time.
Yeah, that's actually pretty much where I'm at with this movie, is that it's got a mystery that doesn't make a lot of sense. It's got characters you don't really like. And it's got so much padding in this movie.
I actually thought the characters were kind of engaging. None of them were particularly interesting, but I didn't actively dislike them.
The thing is, you compare this movie to, like, Final Exam, where they use sports equipment to murder people, but it's more clever. Mm-hmm. Or you take... Have you guys ever seen Final Destination 5?
I haven't watched any of the Final Destinations.
There was this one scene where they have this gymnast, and she's doing the parallel bars, and she's doing the balance beam thing. And there's all these scenes of, okay, she is going to die because there's a screw on the balance beam that she's going to step on with her bare foot, fall off, and break her neck. Or there's a puddle of water around a loose wire that when you step in the water, you'll get shocked and die. And it's really effective at building tension with all this sports equipment. And this movie is frustrating because it's got all these sports equipment kills that are really back to pedestrian.
The reason why this film suffers in that regard is because they shot it in 3 weeks. They were on the... Gotta get it done fast. They would set up a shot, shoot it, and move on to the next shot. There was virtually no reshooting done in this film. There was one take and go.
And that's the frustrating thing about the movie, is that it could be good. It has potential, and it squanders potential, so fuck that.
There's references that this film basically was one of those shot on a credit card kind of things.
We've seen movies like that, where it's shot on film ends on the weekend over the course of 4 years, and they've been better than this.
Yes, because they took the time, because they knew they had to get it right. This wasn't somebody trying to get it right. This was, get it in the can, move on to the next shot. Don't care how good the shot was, just do it, move on to the next shot. It's a different mindset entirely. When somebody is really, really working conservatively, they have very little money to spend, they have very little, they know that they've got to utilize their time to the, and they plot and they plan and they rehearse. They probably even rehearse so that they get it right. I don't see any evidence that there was any rehearsal in this film. They didn't rehearse shots. They had a quick, do this. Okay.
Done.
Action. They did it. Fine. Cut. Next shot.
So yeah, at the end of the day, this movie, yeah, I think a good word for it is pedestrian. Vanilla. Mediocre. Mediocre. Well, thank you for joining us as we dissected Graduation Day. Be sure to come back next week when we take a look at...
I found some Pauly Shore.
No.
Yahoo Serious?
No.
Carrot
No.
Top. Fine.
We'll catch you next week. Stay evil until then.
Mr. Guglione's office. Yes, he is. He's right here. He'll be with you in a moment.
I told you I didn't want to speak to any more people. Now you tell the truth on your own time. Damn it!